I am tempted to begin by pointing out that only those who know Hebrew can fully grasp the wordplay in the first verse of our reading from Jeremiah today. Certainly, one can read the footnote in most modern translations to find out that the Hebrew word for almond and the word for watching have very similar sounds. But that is reading about the text, not the text itself. However, if I point this out, I and you would be missing the main point of this text. God tells Jeremiah, "I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands." God intended to declare his righteous judgment against those who did not worship him. And how did God intend to do this? He tells Jeremiah, "But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them." God was going to speak through Jeremiah to the people. Jeremiah was, after all, a prophet called to speak God's word to the people. God told Jeremiah to preach everything that he commanded. Jeremiah could not pick and choose what he wanted to say. He could not pick only things that would make him popular. He could not choose only things that would appeal to his listeners. Since much of what God commanded him to preach was certainly not pleasant, God warned him not to be dismayed. But God quickly followed up that warning with these words of comfort. "And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." The words that Jeremiah was called to preach were not his words, but God's words. He couldn't pick and choose what he wanted to tell his listeners. And God promised to be with Jeremiah, to be on his side against all those who would try to destroy him. That pretty well sums it up. And that is the same summary for us who are called or who will soon be called to preach that same word. Whether we apply to ourselves these words of God to Jeremiah, as those following in the prophetic tradition, or use the possibly more familiar words of Matthew 28, we have the same conclusion. We are called to teach everything that God has commanded. True preachers of God's word must preach law to destroy the pride and hubris of those who think they can live without God. True preachers must be ready to stand fortified by God himself against those who oppose God's word and will. But true preachers also preach God's word of comfort, the gospel to repentant sinners. It is a truism, but nevertheless true, that God calls us to preach law in order that we can preach gospel, the good news that the suffering and death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary paid for the sins of the whole world. Or, more to the point, that Christ's suffering and death paid for your sins and my sins. The righteousness of Christ is your righteousness and my righteousness through faith in him. All of this is included in teaching everything that God has commanded. But how can we know whether we are indeed teaching everything that God has commanded without languages? Dr. Martin Luther said the following about the importance of languages. Although the gospel came and still comes to us through the Holy Spirit alone, we cannot deny that it came through the medium of languages, was spread abroad by that means, and must be preserved by the same means. In proportion, then, as we value the gospel, let us zealously hold to the languages. For it was not without purpose that God caused his scriptures to be set down in these two languages alone, the Old Testament in Hebrew, the New in Greek. Now, if God did not despise them, but chose them above all others for his word, then we too ought to honor them above all others. And let us be sure of this, we will not long preserve the gospel without the languages. The languages are the sheath in which the sword of the Spirit is contained. They are the casket in which this jewel is enshrined. They are the vessel in which this wine is held. They are the larder in which this food is stored. And, as the gospel itself points out, they are the baskets in which are kept these loaves and fishes and fragments. Thus far, Dr. Luther. So, maybe I was not wrong in beginning the sermon by pointing out the need for Hebrew. Those of you who are trying to bring the beginning phase of your study of Greek or Hebrew to a successful conclusion can be confident that you are learning to appreciate the sheath in which the sword of the Spirit is contained and the baskets in which are all that God has told us. For with the languages, you can know that you are teaching everything that God has commanded. Amen.